This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. Okay, I was thinking about how weird it is that every now and then at conventions, someone will bring me something I won't sign. For example, I think I've said before, but maybe I have not, I don't sign my Maxim magazine. I don't sign them for many reasons we don't need to get into now. But so sometimes people bring those up to the table and I'll say, oh my gosh, I'm really sorry, I don't sign those. And then, like, they'll be like, oh, okay, that's a bummer. And I'll say, but we can, you know, you can get a different picture, or if you don't want anything at all, totally fine. Nice to meet you. And they leave. And then, like, 10 people later, someone will come up and they have their own pictures printed out that they want me to sign. And they're all pictures of me where you can see my feet. And I'm like,
whoa. Really?
And I'm like,
how many pictures of you?
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a photo of you where I can see your feet.
Oh, no, wait. There, you know what? There's actually a photo of all of us barefoot.
Yes, on the beach. Like photo shoot we did where we're standing like on a ledge.
I don't think anybody, other than that photo,
no one wants
I've
your
ever
feet.
Been barefoot. No one wants my feet.
You have hobbit feet.
Your shire hobbit feet.
Just disgusting.
You're great at climbing trees, though.
I was going to say, and it's perfect for your trip to Mordor.
Keep wrapped up in my feet all day. So I don't even wear flip-flops, man.
Just so when you remember when you get into the center of Mount Doom, throw the ring in. It can save us all.
Anyway, and I'll think, should I not sign these?
Not sign these either. Like,
right. I don't
you
normally.
Feel a little dirty.
I feel a little gross, but I'm also like, it's just.
Do you
feet.
Sign them with your feet?
I sign like right over my feet, so like scribble on my feet. No, but so question.
Let me guess. These are mostly teenage girls asking for this.
No.
Yeah. Right.
Most of the people
it's
holding these
middle-aged
photos.
Women, right? Very like mild-mannered
moms. You would be
moms.
Wrong, Ryder. You would be wrong. Such a so bad at this game.
I don't know what you're implying, man. I don't understand what's happening here. Aren't there like websites ratemyfeet.com?
Yes, WikiFeet. all over Wiki Feet. And I'm just like,
Wiki Feet? Wait, is that really a thing? Wiki Feet?
Look it up, man. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go right now.
See if Wilfred L's feet are getting higher rating than mine. Let's see if Wilfred L's on WikiFeet.
Things I don't want to Google for a thousand, Alex. WikiFeet?
WikiFeet.
No.
I'm looking up Wilfred L right now. We're going to see what's on here. Oh, yes.
I mean, isn't there a part of you that's kind of like, okay, because you don't care about your, I mean, you're not like private about your feet, right?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is that I'm like, I don't really, like, it's just feet. Like, it's feet. Right. I don't understand how feet have been.
I won't be on WikiFeet. Right. I won't be on WikiFeet the same way I don't have a cutout. You guys both have cutouts. Like, I'm just never.
That's true. We discovered that. We can talk about that since your feelings really seem hurt by it.
Hey, I hate. This is really the worst jump in I've ever done in my entire life. Will is all over WikiFeet.
Is he?
Yeah, WikiFeet men. For example, I mean, it's crazy how many shots there are actually of him with just no shoes on.
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about. That's the photo shoot.
Okay, then there are other ones. Let me get to this.
Of me?
Yeah, there's some in your backyard where it's just you, your dog, and feet.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've always said it's my best side.
I have to burn this phone now.
Get rid of that phone, Jensen. My God.
I have another question. Did you ever injure your foot? Or, oh no, you know what this is? Were you getting a tattoo?
Yes.
I was getting a tattoo. Yeah, I was covering the other tattoo that I had.
Is Ryder on WikiFeet?
Don't even
men?
Look. Oh my God. No, it'll break your phone. If you show.
Jack Ryder Strong.
Oh, you mean Ryder Strong from WikiFeet Men in this shot?
But I mean, that's not even,
wait, what shot is that?
It's from
what is
Cabin
that from?
Fever.
Okay.
See? You can not even see my thinking foot. Of. Things you don't even think of. That's my point. It's like,
Oh my God.
See? No one wants that. What is that from?
You've never seen that?
Extreme close-up of my foot. So really,
are you allowing people to bring this shot of just your foot two times to sign?
Oh.
You should start offering it.
At that point, yeah, like, I gotta give him, like, does it look like my foot's cut off there?
Serious question.
You really have flat feet.
Serious question. Is this your foot or baby Yoda?
Yeah, it's... Wow. Guys, you know, my feet are stable hiking feet.
I do appreciate them.
And living, you know?
I know. Your feet were made well for that. Oh, here you are. What's that from?
God, am I naked?
Yeah, what are you doing?
A picture of Ryder. He's sitting crisscross applesauce. He has no clothes on, it appears.
Am
maybe
I contemplating life?
What is this photo shoot for?
Right? You know what? I think that's from Penthouse.
I was like,
wait, what?
What?
How have we not talked about
Penthouse
this?
Really wanted me in the photos.
Listen.
Okay,
just
so you say, Will had 10 photos on WikiFeet. Ryder, who said there's no way I have any on there, has 28.
See, there you go. I'm always
how
the last one to the foot
guys,
party.
Beloved for my feet, Ryder, foot model. I think there's a future here.
That's my point. Let's say you were to open an OnlyFans and then just do feet pictures.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think it's a good idea. Is there something, does anyone have any moral objections to that when it's feet?
To foot fetishes?
When you know what it's being used for, though?
But what is it being used for other than people? I mean, I guess, it's like, are there like hand websites?
I'm sure there's probably hand websites. Well, you know, there's also, they say that scientifically, the part of your brain that deals with sex. Uh-huh. Also is right next to the part of your brain that deals with feet. So they think it crossed wire and they connect.
There's a whole part of your brain that deals with feet?
Well, no, it's just one small section of your brain.
But it is true. But just conceptually, the idea of cross wiring.
I love how you just instantly say it's not true. You have no
one part of the brain that does anything. The brain is a holistic system of networks of things.
There's certain memory centers in the brain. Of course there are, Ryder. That's just absolutely incorrect.
So tell me where the part of the brain that deals with sex is. Please explain that.
Here you go. Part.
Sex is the most distributed part of the brain. You can't say there's this one part.
Ryder, while you're fighting, I need you to know that Danielle has 134 pictures on WikiFeet.
Yeah, I see.
That's insane.
You know what it is though, Ryder? It's not all naked feet. There are even times I've worn like strappy sandals.
Yeah.
Right. Hi. Can we talk for one second?
Let's get back to how to writer telling you you're wrong.
In the somatosensory homunculus, S1 territory representing the feet is next to the brain areas representing the genitals. The links to the widely reported S1 theory explain the feet's erogenous zones. There are sections of the brain that control different things. There just are.
Right. Body parts. Sure.
Well, right. But there's also the, so that's exactly what they're talking about. Your erogenous zone, the brain representing the part of the feet and representing the part of the genitals are right next to
right
each other.
Right next to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. So a crossed wire and you're, that's what they call it. Like, you know, if there's some kind of cross, what do they call it? When they
Does any of this explain why writers' feet look that way?
No, that's genetics.
So. That's just genetics.
That's the S2 part of the brain. That's the Hobbit part of the brain.
It's the Hobbit lineage.
That's what it is.
Right out of Scotland and it is. Right into my feet. Through Pennsylvania, over to Northern California.
You do. You've got Scottish Highland feet. There's nothing wrong with that.
Bye, Jensen. Thanks for embarrassing us with our feet.
I sign your maximals all the time, by the way. We've talked about this. They leave your table. And I sign your maximum.
Bring them over here.
Bring them over here. I'll sign them. Feeny call. Danielle's feet.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
So this week's guest and I have quite a long history, despite the fact that I, as far as I'm aware, have never met her. But yet, for the past 20 or so years, our pictures have been placed next to each other alongside Tiffany Amber Thiessen underneath a meme headline that reads something like, "If this was your first crush, it's time for some Metamucil."
I was wondering where this was going.
Yeah, me too. I was like, wait, I mean, I thought you'd never met. Yeah, exactly.
And the debates of who you liked more, well, those have somehow dominated Twitter since the terrible app's inception. And now, this week, we will meet this real-life superhero, who you know best as Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger, on every OG incarnation of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, a franchise seen on TV and movies before franchise was a commonly used term in Hollywood. And you'd later see her on Spin City, ER, in the movie Killing Mr. Griffin, and as Julie Emmerich on 50 episodes of Felicity, now without the helmet. And she's returning to her spandex bad guy fighting roots in the coolest way possible, which we will all talk about. So this week, please welcome an icon and the woman I will always vote for in those dumb online polls, Amy Jo Johnson. Yay!
Hey!
There you are! Hi!
How's it going?
It's so great. It is so nice to meet you. I feel like this has been a very long time coming.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yes. Are you aware of the heated debates we are involuntarily a part of over who was their first 90s crush?
I am not aware of this.
Wow. Wow.
You obviously don't Google yourself as much as
yeah,
Daniel,
yeah, as Daniel does.
You don't get sent nearly as much as I do, apparently.
So, who's the winner?
Oh, there's never a winner. We're all losers. Oh, is the way it works out.
Is there a winner in that situation? Is there such a thing?
I try not to think about that kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, that's the point. I think men are the winner in that situation. It's just, listen, I've always wanted to meet you, and I'm so happy we're able to do it here.
Well, I'm very happy to meet you guys. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't remember this, but you and I had a very nice conversation once at the premiere of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Ooh.
You know what? I was chatting with my pal David Yost yesterday, and he did remind me that you were there.
Oh, really? Okay,
so
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't there, was I?
I wasn't there, was I?
No, I think I was just me.
I don't even remember being there.
You were there. You were there.
I think I was there.
So I know you began your life performing as a competitive gymnast. How does Power Rangers come calling as your first job?
Well, so I moved my life to Los Angeles when I was, I think, like 20, 21. I went to school in New York. I followed a boy cross country and I was there for about 6 months, and I actually left and moved back home. But the night before I went, I met this acting coach, this man named Walter, who, you know, was this very funny, eccentric older man. Well, he wasn't even older then. He was younger than me than I am now, but he seemed older at the time. And just like filled me with all of this love and just was like, "You're gonna be a star." And he had this like tiny little workshop, and I moved home. He even called my parents and he said, "She has to come back." And so I did. I went back, and literally the week I moved back is when I got my first audition, which was for Power Rangers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your first ever audition was for Power Rangers?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This
I did a couple like tiny little student films and stuff that 6 months that I first got there. But like my first real audition, it was with Katie Wallens too, because I had taken a commercial acting workshop class with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was casting the show. And so she called me and told me to come in. I didn't even have an agent. I didn't get an agent till after I left the show.
Jeez.
Wow.
So it was Power Rangers already, it was a big thing in Japan, right?
Yes. So it was, it had a whole history. I think, Stan Lee even wanted it at one point and tried to pitch it and sell it, and he couldn't. And then Haim Saban ended up getting the rights to it and, you know, made it what it was at the time, and just took the Japanese footage and just shot 15 minutes of the real footage that we had. I wouldn't call that the real footage, the new footage.
And, the American footage.
Yeah, the American footage. And sort of smushed it together. And it was just this really weird, cheesy, fun, brightly colored kids show that kind of like...
But so did your audition include fighting? Or because you were the acting side, you didn't have to do any of the stunts?
Oh, we did all our stunts.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until we ran out of the footage... we did a bunch of the stunts, even with the helmets on. And then I couldn't breathe. Me and David Yost really complained about the fact there were like three holes in the helmets and we couldn't breathe. So then they got stunt doubles for us with the helmets on. But I was a gymnast. David was a gymnast. Everybody else was in martial arts. And so we kind of just faked it. For the audition, I do think it was my gymnastics that got me the role. I don't think it was my acting skills at that time.
So how old were you when you booked the job?
I think I just turned 22.
Okay. And how old were you when you started in gymnastics?
Oh my God, 7.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like my upbringing in my life. Like I loved it. And then I actually quit gymnastics when I was around 17.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it came in real handy for that. Yeah.
And you obviously, you just hadn't lost it, even though you hadn't really been doing
gymnastics. I just wrote a comic book. I don't know if you guys know that, but
yes,
the cool. Power Rangers comic book. And so me and my boyfriend, who I wrote this comic book with, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Return, we went back and we watched all these old episodes. Because I don't know about you guys, but I never watched the show when it was. I don't know. I think I watched a few and then I realized quickly as an actor for myself, I didn't like to watch myself. Now as a writer director, I've been in a few things that I did. I don't even look at myself as myself.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I'm editing, you know what I mean? I just become a screen. We went back and we watched a bunch of old episodes of Power Rangers and I was really sort of surprised and a little bit impressed with myself that I still had so many of those skills that I had as a gymnast when I was younger. I mean, I can't do any of that stuff now.
Really?
I have a trampoline in my backyard and I did a backflip last summer and I was out for like a month. Like,
oh no.
The chiropractor said, you no more flips.
Yeah. I don't know why you think you could still flip. You could do it 20 years ago. I don't know why that thing. Yeah.
Did you land it?
I did. Okay. And then I was feeling really good in that moment physically. And I actually went and played Frisbee with my boyfriend and I was doing cartwheels all over the lawn. And yeah, no more. Yeah.
The next day your body was like, what were you doing?
Oh my God. No more going upside down.
You had a very like independent late teenage, early 20s. Cause you said you moved across the country to New York to follow a boy. Then you were back in LA and then the Power Rangers filmed in New Zealand, right?
Yeah. So first of all, I grew up on Cape Cod in Massachusetts in like a small town.
Which town, curiously?
In Dennis.
Okay. So we were in Manomet right before the bridge.
Oh, really?
So that's right next to Plymouth. Yeah. Well, that's where we spent, you know, I'm from Connecticut originally, but that's where my family had our little summer house and we were there all the time. So I spent all my time in like Hyannisport, like that whole kind of area around that, the Cape Cod. Yeah. So very cool.
Yeah. So I still have family there. I love going home. I was just there 2 weeks ago. I actually love it in the winter. It's so beautiful.
It's a great place. Yeah. Great place.
So then I went from Cape Cod to New York.
To New York. Okay. All right. So you didn't go that far. Okay.
But then I drove cross country with a boy to Los Angeles a year after I went to New York. A year? So I got to LA and 6 months later, I landed Power Rangers. A year later, we were still filming. And a year later, it actually aired in September. And then we filmed 2 seasons for a whole other year. And then we went to New Zealand to shoot the movie.
Did it ever get to a point where you were no longer using the Japanese footage where the entire show was being shot here? Or was there always Japanese footage thrown in?
Yeah, no, they ran out. I mean, I did 152 episodes within 2 years.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
So in one filming day, how many pages were you guys doing?
Oh, they would shoot like 4 episodes at a time.
What? Yeah. That's like soap opera schedule, but you're doing stunts.
Yes.
So intense.
Oh, I know. There was, 2 units and we worked 6-day weeks and like we were just in it. We were like paid $700 a week. It was non-union.
Were you having fun or were you exhausted all the time? Like, was it stressful or was it?
I mean, I had a blast. I honestly didn't think the show was going to become what it was for kids. I didn't think that at all. I thought, okay, I'm getting my feet wet. I'm learning how to hit a mark. This is kind of like a cool first job. And I just sort of immersed myself in it. And it was a year later that it aired and then the kids just loved it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My son went through such an intense Power Rangers phase.
My kids too.
It still works.
Yeah.
And now there's like 50 different shows that are all in the same ilk. And he's like, he knows which ones are from which generation. And I'm like, I cannot keep up with any of this. It's so, it's great.
Yeah. There's so many, I think it just ended last year, to tell you the truth. So I think, I don't know how many generations of Power Rangers there were, or different casts, but there were a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you have an adjustment period coming off of Power Rangers into your next job? Like to change, like, oh, this is different than, this is a different type of set than I'm used to.
Yeah. So I actually asked to leave, before the movie, actually. I went to the producer and said, you know what? I think I'm done.
We've shot 38 episodes today. Yeah. I think I'm finished.
I hear other actors are making a little more than $700
and doing an episode a week. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
God.
And he was very kind to me. He wasn't so kind, apparently, to other people, but he said, go and shoot the movie. If you go and shoot this movie, and then I wrote this other movie called Susie Q that I would love you to star in. It was this little Disney movie. And like 5-10 more episodes when we come back from New Zealand. And I was like, that's great. And he gave me this beautiful Guild guitar, a Gibson guitar. And that was sort of my send off. And then, for a year, at least a year to 2 years, it was very hard to get that next job. So I just sort of dove into plays and acting classes and just tried to, I decided I'm not going to focus on getting an agent or a manager. I'm going to focus on the craft and let that naturally happen and come to me.
Wow. That's very mature of you.
Which I was a very naive person, but I think if I look back, I think that was kind of a smart choice for me to go and just sort of like kind of hone my skills as an actor. And it was about 2 years later, a year and a half later, I got my first movie of the week.
Remember movies of the week? Remember how much fun movies of the week were? Did you guys ever do movies of the week?
No.
Did you, Ryder, Danielle, did you guys do your MOWs?
Well, Summertime Switch was.
That's right. Yeah.
Essentially, that's an ABC movie of the week. Yeah. And my first job was a movie of the week. Yeah.
Which one?
The Long Road Home. The job where I was in a Depression era family. It was like one of 8 kids and had like 3 lines in the movie.
Oh,
and
that's
looped.
They
asked me to come do ADR, and then I was like, I only had a couple lines, and then some woman did my voice. I
think. Oh no.
Whatever.
Whatever. Joe, I'm over it.
What did your family think of you becoming this, like a part of this huge phenomenon?
Oh, they were very proud. Again, I came from sort of a small town in Cape Cod. Nobody was in the arts in any means. And I just remember my dad and my mom were really proud. My dad was so proud to a point that my mom had to say, stop having people come over the house when she comes home.
Oh, yes.
He would just have the people lined up. And I'd be like, Dad, I just want to come home.
Please don't bring the neighbors over with right? their cameras.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I went through that with my grandparents. I'd go visit my grandparents and my grandmother would go, come on, we're going to make the rounds. And I'd go to like her bank and her grocery store and her Nordstrom to meet all the people she talked about.
I still have to do that. My dad's like, the guy at the car wash place really needs to meet you. I'm like, why? He's like, well, he wants to talk to you about something. And then I'll get there and I'll be like, just my big fan. Like, oh, all right. Thanks. Thanks, Dad. So.
Oh my gosh.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Going back to Power Rangers, so it becomes a complete and total phenomenon. I mean, it's everywhere. How did your life change when it aired and then it's all over the place? I mean, where since it, because it's so strange, it's like, was really a kid show. We say we were on a kid show, but we had, you know, the parents would watch with the kids. Power Rangers was really kind of a little kid's phenomenon at the time. So could you still have a totally normal life unless there were little kids around, or were you being recognized everywhere?
I had a totally normal life. I mean, we were like, again, paid $700 a week. And at one point, I remember David Yost coming over to my house and he opened a drawer and there was like 35 checks still sitting in the drawer.
Oh my gosh.
Bank yet. I mean, like, I was a little bit clueless of like, oh, la, 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 la. And we were working so much, right? So I think the first time that we were sort of like, oh, wow, this is a very popular show, or a couple different scenarios. One, we went to Hawaii to do a personal appearance, and it was me, JDF, and David, and they announced it on the radio, and we got off the plane. You know how they lay you?
Yes.
Well, we got off the plane, and there were at least 1,000 people at the airport. Wow. I do believe it was more. And they started laying us.
Thousands of lays.
And laying us. And then JDF turns around and looks at me, and all I see her is eyes. Just all flowers. And we were like,
oh my God.
Like we were almost laid to death. I know that's true. But that was crazy. And then the Universal Amphitheater shows, we showed up. Like we thought we were doing one little show, and it ended up selling out. So we ended up doing 4 shows in one day. And it actually, to be honest, it gave me nightmares. And I realized in that moment, I don't think I really actually want to be famous.
Wow.
Mm. So I sort of struggled with that for a long time. And it wasn't until I actually discovered writing and directing is my passion. And that's really all I want to do. I prefer to be behind the camera than in front of it. But that it took me about 20 years to really figure that out.
Will you tell, what were those shows? Tell me more about those live shows. What were those Universal Amphitheater shows?
So when when the TV show first hit, they did this live show at Universal Amphitheater, and it shut down the highway. There were so many people that showed up. They had to shut down the 101. And we were actually stuck in traffic trying to get to the show.
And then you're like, the people doing the show were on the freeway. You're
we
shutting
couldn't
down.
Even get there. And it was just, I don't know. They just made this live show. We did it once. It was one day. And then
and you had to do stunts on stage, and like it was a
oh
thing.
Yeah. We had our helmets so on terrifying. And we go onto this big platform and we rip off the helmet and the whole amphitheater screams. And then we did flips off of the platform and ran around the stage. And I remember me and Twee kept going. We were screaming with the audience. And then we go in the back and Haim Saban's like, no screaming. Like you have to stop.
Did anyone ever get hurt?
Twee actually hurt her knee when she jumped off. She hurt herself. But
yeah. Okay. And then were you getting paid for these live shows? Were you getting paid more than you were getting paid for the TV show?
My hindsight is really bad. You'd have to ask like David Yost or Walter. Was Walter?
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say probably not.
Probably not. Probably not. Exactly. Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah. You got $50 a pop. Good luck.
Oh my God.
Jeez, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I just remember knowing, seeing how the level of talent physically that the cast had. We were fourth season of the show, fifth season of the show, we're at Radford.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a martial arts studio up the street, and I thought, I'm going to take some classes. So I decided to take some Hapkido classes right up the street, and Walter was in my class.
Oh, cool.
And was a black belt, obviously, as I was trying to put on my outfit. Learning what ties to what. And the teacher said, Walter's going to give us a demonstration. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So we all sit around the mat and he flips into the room, like full on flips into the room out of nowhere. Like this amazing thing flips over us to land in the mat, does this gymnastics things backflip, and then just starts doing these high kicks that would have taken Shaq out like 7 feet in the air. This insane. And then he finishes. And he walked out.
Oh.
And it was the whole class looking around like, what the hell? It was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen up close, where it was just like, how is a human being pulling this off? So the level of skill that you all had, because JDF, I know, was a martial artist. David Yost was a martial artist as well, wasn't he?
He was a gymnast.
He was a gymnast. So again, with exactly what Ryder said, I'm thinking of you're doing all the stunts. You're working 6 days a week.
Oh, my God.
You're shooting multiple shows at the same time. And
having
it's like
to be an actor and an athlete to that degree. I mean, I've always felt this way about dancers in general. Like, it's just so, it's so impressive. And if anything, you guys should have been getting paid way more than your average actor. Right. Like.
I want to go back and retroactively pay you. Like I feel like you deserve to. There needs to be a way.
Oh, you know what? Like whatever. It was what it was. It was my first job, and now honestly, doing conventions, which has been super helpful as I transitioned from acting to writing and directing. And just like the kindness that comes from those shows and
they're great, aren't they?
Kids that are adults now and how it impacted their lives. And like it, I'm good. Like I'm happy. I'm like super grateful that I had the experience, but it was definitely a wild ride. Definitely a wild ride.
Yeah, I know we've now mentioned him a couple of times only as JDF, but, you know, Jason David Frank, we lost him last year. And we all know firsthand that when you share that many years with somebody and, you know, you have those kinds of experiences, those are relationships that are one in a million. Not a whole lot of people know what those relationships are like. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your relationship is like with the other Power Rangers and how bonded or not bonded you feel?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, David. David is like my family. Mm-hmm. My daughter calls him Uncle Yost. We go on vacations every year, and he's actually from Wareham.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
He has a house on Wareham. So we go to Cape Cod every year together. And I just love him to death. And JDF was a very, very close friend. And that was just awful.
Yeah.
But as you guys know, like everybody, they're like family in a lot of ways, you know? And so I would say David and Jason were the closest to me. I'm now super close with JDF's daughter, Jenna. Mm. And then I see Walter at shows and Catherine, who played the Pink Ranger after me, she's super sweet. She texts me every now and then. We actually got closer. Like I didn't really know her because I wasn't on the show with her, but when Jason passed away, we ended up reaching out to each other and sort of have stayed connected just through texts here
That's
and there.
That's nice.
Yeah. And other than that, you know, I don't really. And then we lost Chui as well, who was the Yellow Ranger. Mm-hmm. And then I don't really know much of the other people. I've met Erin before. She was a Pink Ranger once or a Yellow Ranger. Pink. Oh my God. I don't know. I didn't watch. She's great. But yeah.
Well, it sounds even funny for me to bring this up, considering what's available on TV now for kids. But the violence in Power Rangers was very controversial at the time. In Canada, it was actually pulled from TV before the end of the first season because of complaints. Do you remember any of that?
I do. I remember the controversy over that. And I think it was sort of a choice for parents, like either they let their kids watch it or not. But the message of each show was always like this positive, you know, learning lesson, and just having female superheroes kick butt was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so, but we were just like pounding away on people.
Monsters. I mean, that seems mild compared to what's out there today. You know?
Oh, for sure.
Certainly compared to what's out there today. But my kids are huge fans, and we have all the Power Rangers action figures. And I have many times tried to pick up an action figure and be a Power Ranger. And both of my sons have said to me, "No, mommy, you're the Pink Power Ranger." And I was like, I don't just have to be the Pink Power Ranger because I could be a different one, even though
be the yellow one. That's
exactly. You're allowed to be pink or yellow, mommy. You take your choice. But they always want me to be the Pink Power Ranger. I'm always like, okay, I'm happy to do it.
Oh, I love that.
So I wanted to talk to you about Felicity. And your work with a fellow Boy Meets World guest star alum, Kerry Russell. Was it difficult doing the transition from Power Rangers, and how did that role come about for you?
So I landed Felicity maybe 4 years. I don't know. I left Power Rangers in 95 and I got Felicity in 98. So in between that, I had done a bunch of movies of the week, like we were talking about before. Yeah. And so I think I had time to sort of take my acting classes and stuff. And so when I landed that was just such a huge win. And I was just so excited to be part of something that felt just like a little more elevated. Mm-hmm. Rangers, yeah. And kind of special. And I had a great time. I was on the show most of the time. Again, I went and I asked to leave after two seasons, but I had lost my mother right when I got the show. And I think I just needed to go grieve. I actually went to Chicago and recorded a rock album.
Oh, wow. Cool. I know your character on Felicity was a musician. So as if being like a gymnast wasn't, and acting wasn't enough, you also actually played guitar and were singing. And that was really you doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Julie was first a dancer, but then I was like, I don't really know how to dance, but I play guitar. And they're like, great. So they incorporated that, which was cool.
Had you always been interested in singing?
Yeah. I started playing. I taught myself how to play the guitar when I was like 18, 19. And I've always just kept music on the side, sort of like a hobby, a place to just kind of go and express, especially when, you know, things aren't happening. Mm-hmm. With the acting career or writing and directing. I actually have an EP coming out in maybe about a month and a half. We're still mixing it, but it's called Still Here. And it's three songs. Yeah. And so going back to Felicity, what was the question anyway? It was a huge transit. It was a very different experience.
Yeah.
Looking back now, obviously the grieving process, you need to do what you need to do when you need to do it. But if you had to go back, would you have stayed on Felicity?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. And there are no regrets. Like,
sure.
The way everything rolled out was the way everything rolled out. And now that I know deep inside, like, I am much happier behind the camera and writing and directing. And I kind of knew that then, but I didn't give myself permission to actually pursue.
Yeah.
I thought I wasn't allowed to for whatever reason. So, you know, in hindsight, would I have stayed on the show? Probably should have. And yes. But at the same time, I don't know if I would have been any happier if I stayed, because I don't think that I've ever truly loved acting whereas I love writing and directing.
Yeah, you mentioned that you're making your return to your legacy with the comic book Mighty Morphin Power Rangers The Return, which you co-wrote for Boom Studios. Why don't you tell us all about that?
Yeah, so I wrote a comic book with my boyfriend, Matt, and we actually came up with the idea during COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was a Power Ranger, sort of like, what if the original Rangers had stayed together? Where would they be now? And we just started creating this wild story and then pitched it to Boom. And about 3 years later, everything takes so long, right?
Of course. So slow.
They said yes, and they asked Hasbro, and so we did it, and we got this amazing artist, and issue one came out a month ago, issue two is just came out, and there's four issues, and we kind of leave it open-ended, and we have more ideas, and it's been very different, because I write screenplays, and I have a couple features, and I have two movies that I'm getting off the ground, so to switch to go to comic book writing was very different. It's a different muscle.
Yeah.
But the but the quicker gratification of it is very exciting and fun. Yeah. To send this story and this script away and then to get back this amazing drawing and artwork, and like, it's been really thrilling and fun. And the response has been pretty great. So
great. Where can people get it?
The comic book shop.
Right.
Your local shop. On what is it? Wednesdays? Wednesdays are the days when the new books drop, I think, is for comic book fans. I think that's what it is. Now, is it, you said the original, it's the OG Power Ranger. So is it the Green Ranger, or is it the White Ranger, or is it the Gold Ranger?
Aha. So we actually, that was one of the things, we went back and watched the show and found our sort of jumping off point.
Yeah.
And our jumping off point is when the Green Ranger was still the Green Ranger.
Okay.
And so then from that point on, we've created this new story. And the story really is, there's flashbacks to what happened. Something really tragic happened 22 years ago. But the main story takes place now with the Rangers as middle-aged people.
That sounds really cool.
It is, does sound. Yeah. But your characters from Power Rangers, your original OG characters. Cool.
Original five. Yeah.
That's so great.
That's neat.
And I also wanted to touch on another thing that bonds us. We have both become directors. You directed a movie starring Felicity Huffman and Lauren Holly called Tammy's Always Dying. And you recently directed an episode of Superman and Lois. So what drew you to direct behind the camera?
Like I said a little bit earlier, I think I've always wanted to do that. Right now, I am. Did you guys have a video camera in the 90s and just videotape everything?
Mm-hmm. Ryder did, especially. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have 100 mini DVDs that I'm transferring right now. And I realize I'm in none of it.
Right.
Because you're always
running around, like filming everything. And I think from that time, I already loved directing. Like I found one tape where this girl, Raimi, who was my friend, I dressed her up in my mom's old nightgown and made her run around a graveyard and just filmed her. Like, I don't know what I was doing, but she was like my muse. I have her holding like a Cookie Monster. And anyway, but again, like I said, I guess I didn't know if I was allowed to do that. And then I started writing, and in my 30s, I wrote a couple screenplays, and I actually sent one screenplay called Crazier Than You. I sent it to John Hamm because I had done a series with him, and I knew he was directing, and I said, do you want to direct this? And he read it, and he's like, you should direct this. Mm. And I was like, oh, maybe I should. And not that it took a man to give me permission, but kind of, I think in my head it did. And I was like, I can do this. So as soon as I finished Flashpoint, which was the last series that I did here in Canada, I just started shooting short films. And so I just figured it out, cut my teeth and just like got people together. And then I did my first feature called The Space Between for $350,000 and just got everybody together and did it. And then I did Tammy. And so I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I realize I've wanted to do this from the very beginning.
Been a director.
Yeah.
My wife has a similar, you know, because she's always been an actor and only recently started directing like the last 10 years. And it's so interesting because we compare notes and like, I always had this idea as a kid, like I would look, I would be like, oh, that's like the real job is directing, right? I would look at the director and I would imagine like someday I'll get there. And for her, that just never even occurred to her because they were all men and it was not even an open, it was just not a conversation. It was like, if you're an actor and a female actor, you just kind of stay in that lane. And I remember like when I was like 24, I worked on a film with a female DP. And I remember just being like, oh, that's possible. Because literally it didn't exist. It's still so rare, you know, but it was like, oh yeah, I'm so glad it's finally changing, you know, because for somebody like my wife, who is an amazing director, it would have been such a natural thing for her in her early 20s to do that instead of acting probably, you know?
Yeah. And then I'm just so grateful for and love watching people like Greta Gerwig or, you know, these women who just knew early on and just like are help paving the way. It's like, yes, yes. Like, why not? Like, we have so many stories to tell.
Similar to writer's wife, Alex, never even occurred to me. Never through all the years of growing up, never once being on Boy Meets World did I think, oh yeah, someday I want to direct. Never. It was just like, yeah, no, I'm of course, I'm an in front of the camera person and that's all it's ever going to be. And then really it wasn't until Girl Meets World where I was like, oh, you think maybe I could maybe do this? And then the minute
so
I did it, I was
the
like,
second you did, right?
Yes, it was like, oh my gosh, of course this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But
did we have a single female director on Boy, especially season seven? We did. Was it
actually,
was Jody, right?
Well, Lynn McCracken.
Lynn McCracken did some. And then what was her name? She did the Eskimo episode, the famous episode.
I wasn't in that one, I don't think.
gosh, what was her name? She only did the one episode, but she was also, but you know what that was? A lot of Jodie and that other woman came up through a Disney program for women directors, right. Which was great. They had a fellowship.
Binstock, right? Jodie Binstock, yeah, wasn't that who was great.
Yeah, she's now a producer. But yeah, there was, fortunately, Disney has a program. I'm assuming they still have it. They had a fellowship even back then to encourage female directors, which was awesome.
That's right. We had Lynn and we had Jodie. I don't think I was
without
in
that
the
program. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
That's the reality, especially back then, of directing. It's just a boys' club.
Yeah.
Well, you have a daughter. How old is your daughter?
15.
Does she show any interest in the entertainment industry at all?
She really doesn't. She loves math and she loves coding and
great. Oh,
so healthy.
Yes, I love it.
You can just support those things unequivocally and just say,
Yeah. But although I find her very creative. And I think that she would be a really great writer. Mm-hmm. And she actually, I did a little video the other day. I wanted to go to the comic book shop and see if they had my comic book there. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her to film me and she did such a good job.
Great.
And she even edited the little movie. And I'm like, Frankie, there's a future for you in the arts. And she's like, nope.
That's funny.
That's so funny. Yeah. So last question. Over 30 years since going from gymnast to worldwide super icon, when you see that first season version of yourself on Power Rangers, what are your thoughts on young Amy Jo? What would you tell her now?
Well, I think one thing I struggled with for a long time through my 20s was comparing myself to other people.
Mm.
I think I would tell her, don't do that. That's just, it's a dead end road there, or it's a painful road, actually. I would tell her to not do that. And I would tell her to go write and direct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it now.
Get started early. Yeah. I would also like to go back and ask for a raise for you.
Yeah.
Retroactively. Exactly. A raise, more stunt people, and more than three just holes in the mask.
Standard SAG contract. Yes,
exactly.
Let's get into the union.
Yeah.
Oh, there were three Rangers that did ask for that, and they were fired.
Okay.
Really?
So they had paved the way for you to know the answer for that. Wow, the 90s, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Amy Jo, thank you so much for being here with us, sharing your time and your story with us. I feel like I can't believe this is the first time I'm meeting you. Been a big fan from afar for a long time. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. You guys are awesome.
Go to the comic book store. Get her comic.
Yes. MMPR, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Return.
I'm going to get a copy. And then if I see you at a con, I'm going to have you sign it for my kids. They're going to be so excited. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
$700 a week. And they
to
were
do
probably
four
doing
episodes at a time.
Four episodes.
I know.
Oh, with all the physical stuff too. They're doing all their own stuff.
It's always that way though. I feel like, you know, it's such a crappy thing about the entertainment industry is that people are always exploited because everybody loves movies and TV shows. Like we all love the, you know, the dream of like being a part
just
of
gonna
the,
say that
the
they're
system,
exploiting your
part
dream
of the magic.
Yeah.
And like, so, I mean, and it's not just actors, it's mostly crew, right? I mean, it's mostly people, like young people coming out of film school, totally taken advantage of and paid nothing or very little. And then actors, obviously, you know, you're willing to sacrifice because you're in front of the camera, because you think it's, you know, it's, and the truth is like, that's not sustainable. Like, you know, the chances of you, you know, she had a sustainable career, luckily, because it sounds like she did a lot of smart things afterwards, but you know, just being on one of those kinds of shows or being on a soap opera that can last a couple of years and then you might not work again for 10 years. That's just the way it is. And it has nothing to do with your talent. It's just the nature of the business.
Oh. You've also got this other weird thing with this type of show where it's like almost like an athlete. You get hurt and they're going to cast somebody else. That's it. Totally. You're done. Oh, you blew out your knee. Sorry. You got to go do something else now. It's crazy. But that's another reason that I really love the conventions and the convention circuit is because a lot of actors like Amy Jo, like a lot of the Rangers that we've met, people that maybe didn't make a lot of money when they were on the show, now get to make a little bit now and meet the fans and do all that kind of stuff. So it's nice that there's
also
kind of a resurgence.
Also get to contend with grown-ups as opposed to 7-year-old
seven-year-old kids screaming everywhere.
Right, they exactly. get to actually shake somebody's hand and be like, yeah. oh, okay, well, you're yeah. a human being.
That's cool. Yeah. The idea for the comic book, though, sounds really...
That sounds really
that sounds cool.
That would actually
yeah.
be a great film.
Yeah, that sounds really great. So
it's a great idea.
She's so well-rounded. It's really awesome yeah. to see somebody who, like, clearly has never settled into one... version mm-hmm. of herself.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Well, and I love that never once after being a part of such a massive franchise, like she so very clearly is like comfortable. Like most people become addicted to the being on camera and to the fame feeling and to the attention that brings. And for her to be like, I don't want it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And to be totally comfortable being like, I'm just going to be happier behind the scenes. So
she walked away from two series.
I
mean, that's she asked to be written out of two different series. That's amazing.
Yeah, that takes a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I'll say.
Well, thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
It's merchant time!
Mighty Morphin merchant time!
Yeah!
I love it! Podmeetsworldshow.com. Writer, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Wilfred L., and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.